Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, February the 8th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us another day to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you do for us day by day and how you allow us to learn constantly from your word. We ask that you would fill us with understanding, that as we go forward today, we will learn and implement that which we have learned. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we've reached the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, and we begin at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Yet what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Review and Herald, May the 26th, 1904, beginning at paragraph 15, says, when we submit to the solemn rite of baptism, we testify to angels and to men that we are purged from our old sins, and that henceforth, having died to the world, we will seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let us not forget our baptismal vows. In the presence of the three highest powers of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have pledged ourselves to do the will of him who, over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ forgives every penitent sinner, and as the forgiven one, at the time of baptism, rises from the watery grave, he is declared a new creature whose life is hid with Christ in God. Let us remember, ever remember, that it is our high privilege to be purged from our old sins. Faithfulness to our baptismal vow gives the heart preparation needed for saving souls. Oh, how many we might save! As I look over the congregation before me, I realize that there is a work for every church member to do. All may not have lived up to their baptismal vow, but let every erring one do all in his power to redeem the past, turning from the path that has led astray to the path of humble obedience. You, my brother, my sister, are to win heaven and a life that measures with the life of God. You know not how soon your own life may be taken away. Have you secured a better life? Make sure of salvation, I beg you, while you still have the opportunity. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. This is the only election regarding which the Bible speaks. Fallen in sin, we may become partakers of the divine nature and attain to a knowledge far in advance of any scientific learning. By partaking of the flesh and the blood of our crucified Savior, we shall gain life eternal. In the 6th of John we read, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. None need lose eternal life. Everyone who chooses daily to learn of the heavenly teacher will make his calling and election sure. Let us humble our hearts before God and follow on to know him whom to know aright is life eternal. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here are your life insurance papers. This is not an insurance policy, the value of which someone will receive after your death. It is a policy that assures you a life measuring with the life of God, even eternal life. Oh, what an assurance! What a hope! Let us ever reveal to the world that we are seeking for a better country, even a heavenly. Heaven has been made for us, and we want a part in it. We cannot afford to allow anything to separate us from God and heaven. In this life, we must be partakers of the divine nature. Brethren and sisters, you have only one life to live. Oh, let it be a life of virtue, a life hid with Christ in God. United, we are to help one another gain perfection of character. To this end, we are to cease all criticism. Onward and still onward, we may advance toward perfection, until at last there will be ministered unto us an abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Wherefore, says Peter, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Supposing we were to cherish a remembrance of the bright chapters in our Christian experience, and dwell upon these in our testimony meetings, would not this be pleasing to God? If unbelievers are present in these meetings, they will recognize the right ring in such testimonies. Why? Because angels of God are with those who have gained a personal knowledge of Christ Jesus, and these angels will impress hearts. The ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper are two monumental pillars. One without the one, without the other, is without the church and within the church. Upon these ordinances, Christ has inscribed the name of the true God. Christ has made baptism the sign of entrance to his spiritual kingdom. He has made this a positive condition with which all must comply who wish to be acknowledged as under the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before man can find a home in the church, before passing the threshold of God's spiritual kingdom, he is to receive the impress of the divine name, the Lord or righteousness. Baptism is a most solemn renunciation of the world. Those who were baptized in the threefold name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at the very entrance of their Christian life declare publicly that they have forsaken the service of Satan and have become members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. They have obeyed the command, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And to them is fulfilled the promise, I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There is need of a more thorough preparation on the part of candidates for baptism. They are in need of more faithful instruction than has usually been given them. The principles of the Christian life should be made plain to those who have newly come to the truth. None can depend upon their profession of faith as proof that they have a saving connection with Christ. We are not only to say, I believe, but to practice the truth. It is by conformity to the will of God, in our words, our deportment, our character, that we prove our connection with Him. Whenever one renounces sin, which is the transgression of the law, his life will be brought into conformity with the law, into perfect obedience. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The light of the Word, carefully studied, the voice of conscience, the striving of the Spirit, produce in the heart genuine love for Christ, who gave himself a whole sacrifice to redeem the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. And love is manifested in obedience. The line of demarcation will be plain and distinct between those who love God and keep his commandments, and those who love him not and disregard his precepts. Faithful Christian men and women should have an interest, an intense interest, to bring the convicted soul to a correct knowledge of righteousness in Christ. If any have allowed the desire for selfish indulgence to become supreme in their life, the faithful believers should watch for these souls as they that must give an account. They must not neglect the faithful, tender, loving instruction so essential to the young converts, that there may be no half-hearted work. The very first experience should be right. Satan does not want anyone to see the necessity of an entire surrender to God. When the soul fails to make this surrender, sin is not forsaken. The appetites and passions are striving for the mastery. Temptations confuse the conscience, so that true conversion does not take place. If all had a sense of the conflict which each soul must wage with satanic agencies that are seeking to ensnare, entice, and deceive, there would be much more diligent labor for those who are young in the faith. Those souls, left to themselves, are often tempted and do not discern the evil of the temptation. Let them feel that it is their privilege to solicit counsel. Let them seek the society of those who can help them. Through association with those who love and fear God, they will receive strength. Our conversation with these souls should be of a spiritual, encouraging character. The Lord marks the conflicts of every weak, doubting, struggling one, and he will help all who call upon him. They will see heaven open before them, and angels of God descending and ascending the ladder of shining brightness which they are trying to climb. The parents' work is a work that must be done. Parents whose children desire to be baptized have a work to do, both in self-examination and in giving faithful instruction to their children. Baptism is a most sacred and important ordinance, and there should be a thorough understanding as to its meaning. It means repentance for sin, the entrance upon a new life in Christ. There should be no undue haste to receive the ordinance. Let both parents and children count the cost. In consenting to the baptism of their children, parents sacredly pledge themselves to be faithful stewards over these children, to guide them in their character building. They pledge themselves to guard with special interest these lambs of the flock, that they may not dishonor the faith they profess. Religious instruction should be given to children from their earliest years. It should be given not in a condemnatory spirit, but in a cheerful, happy spirit. Mothers need to be on the watch constantly, lest temptation shall come to the children in such a form as not to be recognized by them. The parents are to guard their children with wise, pleasant instruction. As the very best friends of these inexperienced ones, parents should help them in the work of overcoming, for it means everything to them to be victorious. They should consider that their own dear children, who are seeking to do right, are younger members of the Lord's family, and they should feel an intense interest in helping them to make straight paths in the King's highway of obedience. With loving interest, they should teach them day by day what it means to be children of God and to yield the will in obedience to Him. Teach them that obedience to God involves obedience to their parents. This must be a daily, hourly work. Parents, watch and pray, and make your children your companions. When the happiest period of their life has come, and they are in their hearts feeling the love Jesus gave them and wish to be baptized, then deal faithfully with them. Before they receive the ordinance, ask them if it is to be their first purpose to life in life to work for God. Then tell them how to begin. It is the first lessons that mean so much. In simplicity, teach them how to do their first service for God. Make the work as easy to be understood as possible. Explain what it means to give up self to the Lord, to do just as His Word directs, under the counsel of Christian parents. After faithful labor, if you are satisfied that your children understand the meaning of conversion and baptism and are truly converted, let them be baptized. But I repeat, first of all, prepare yourselves to act as faithful shepherds in guiding their inexperienced feet in the narrow way of obedience. God must work in the parents that they may give to their children a right example in love, courtesy, and Christian humility, and in an entire giving up of self to Christ. If you consent to the baptism of your children and then leave them to do as they choose, feeling no special duty to keep their feet in the straight path, you yourselves are responsible if they lose faith and courage and interest in the truth. Candidates who have grown to manhood and womanhood should understand their duty better than do the younger ones. But the pastor of the church has a duty to do for these souls. Have they had wrong habits and practices? It is the duty of the pastor to have special meetings with them. Give them Bible readings, converse and pray with them, and plainly show the claims of the Lord upon them. Read to them the teachings of the Bible in regard to conversion. Show what is the fruit of conversion, the evidence that they love God. Show that true conversion is a change of heart, of thought, and purposes. Evil habits are to be given up. The sins of evil speaking, of jealousy, of disobedience are to be put away. A warfare must be waged against every evil trait of character. Then the believing one can understandingly take to himself the promise, "Ask, and it shall be given you." What a powerful session here on the matter of baptism. So often we include that act of baptism in those who have not really had an opportunity to learn of the fundamental truths. Too frequently, we are more concerned with the number who are being baptized than we are with the quality of those who have given their lives to Christ. Today, if you are one of those who has been a Bible worker or someone who has been working with others to bring them to the Lord, make sure that the kind of quality instruction that you give will meet with the approval of heaven. And make sure that you have the right instruction in your own life so that your character is transformed according to the will of God. And if you are a parent and your children are moving in the direction of commitment to Christ, make sure that you're ready to be the right shepherd in the home, to lead them by right examples, so that they will follow closely all that God has instructed. Today, God is giving us an opportunity to change our lives. If we have been wasting time and heading off in the wrong direction and neglecting our duty, both as a member of the church or, more importantly, as a parent, ask God for forgiveness today. He will turn you from the path of unrighteousness to the path of righteousness. Begin to do that which you have failed to do. Study God's word. Think carefully about the decisions that you make so that the children that are around you might be able to set the correct example so that they might follow you and follow Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your instruction. We recognize the need of doing that which is right and pleasing in your sight. So often we have failed to follow through with all that you have said, but today we ask forgiveness and we ask that you would continue to be with us so that we might walk according to your will and do only that which is according to your instruction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, February the 8th, 2020.